There are those who read our chapel bulletin each week hoping to find mistakes and hoping to be all things to all men. I have chosen to include one today. The reference that you see before you is correct. Our text today is from 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 7. But the words that are printed are yesterday's text. So please hear these words in our Lord's name. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In the final days of World War II, there were 95,000 American soldiers sitting in concentration or POW camps in Nazi Germany. And at the end of the war, it was becoming more and more obvious, even to those inside of these POW camps, that the war was coming to an end. In fact, it's interesting, as the war drew closer to the end, there were actually more prisoners coming in, which actually boosted the spirits of the Allied soldiers who were prisoners of war, because they knew that it meant that their own soldiers were getting close enough to be more frequently captured and so on. According to some of the reports inside of these POW camps by American soldiers, even the German soldiers themselves who were guarding them realized that things were coming to an end. But they still decided to hold their posts until the last day finally came. And so each day the prisoners of war, the Americans, would wait for their liberators to finally show up and to come through those gates. And every time Allied planes would fly overhead, they would all let out a cheer, and sometimes they would burst into singing the national anthem and so on. At night in the barracks, they would start to talk about what's it going to be like when that day finally comes. When you get back home, what's the first meal that you're going to eat? What's it going to be like to finally get to see your loved ones again? And they would encourage each other with discussions about going back to the United States and how great it would be to finally get home. And so they knew that this was all wrapping up and things were coming to a close. It was now just a matter of time. And many of those prisoners of war will tell you now, some of them still living, will tell you that they grew closer to some of their fellow prisoners of war in that camp than they did to their own family members. And going through very difficult situations can often do that for people. You grow a great appreciation for each other. Some of the soldiers who came in were wounded, and in those final days, their fellow soldiers, fellow prisoners, would try to especially help them and encourage them to hang in there because the day of liberation was soon arriving. It was just a matter of time. What a nice picture, in a way, of the members of the Holy Christian Church in this world. The members of the Una Sancta, the one holy church of believers in Christ who are waiting for him, the great liberator, to return. Our text tells us that the end of all things is at hand. When we look at the signs that are out there in the world, they match up exactly with the signs that our Lord has given us for when he plans to return. So we know that it is imminent. When we listen to the reports of others, as far as what's going on in the world, it's very clear that this will all soon be coming to an end. But for right now, we wait. We wait patiently, even though the war, in essence, is already done. Even though the war and the victory in the war has already been won by our side. When our Lord rose victorious from the grave on that great Easter morning, that was the victory over every possible power or authority in this world that could ever hold us back or bury us in death. The fact that our Lord Jesus went to the cross to pay for all of our sins and then rose victoriously and has now ascended into heaven, that means that the war itself is done. The victory is already ours, even while we're sitting in this prisoner of war camp in this world. We already have it. We possess it. It's just a matter of time till we get out of here. So what do we do to pass the time? What do we do while we wait? Well, that's the focus of our text. St. Peter, by inspiration, gives us these instructions as we wait patiently for the day of our liberation. He says, be watchful and prayerful. Don't lose sight, in other words, of what's coming. Don't get caught up in all the stuff that's going on in this world and in your earthly life to forget about the fact that there's a liberation day coming, and that's really what we're waiting for. Don't let the concerns and the troubles of this world weigh you down to such an extent that you forget about this powerful, victorious Lord who's coming to retrieve his church out of this camp. Don't lose sight of the fact, as we have pleasures and wonderful things around us in this world, don't lose sight of the fact that even though the food can taste good here inside of this stalag, it's going to be much better on the outside. There's an old saying that goes like this: don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I don't have a problem with that myself, and probably most of us don't. We oftentimes struggle to keep our focus on the wonderful day of salvation that is coming for us and the beautiful home and the mansions above that our Lord has so graciously prepared for us. On the day of Christ's ascension into heaven, his disciples physically watched him with their eyes go up into the heavens. It probably took a few minutes after all of that. Their eyes came back down to earth and they went back to their various duties and off into the ministries where God had called them and so on. But even though their physical eyes had left the heavens and came back down to earth, their spiritual eyes remained there. And that's how the Lord wants us to be as members of his church in this world. That even though we have watched him ascend into heaven and know that that's where we soon will go ourselves, and even though our physical eyes have to be back here on the things of this life and our studies and the employment we may have and the families we may raise and all of the future for us, but spiritually our eyes must always stay with the Lord in the heavens, waiting for him to return. Peter says, be hospitable to one another. Have a fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Inside of the barracks that we now live in here as members of the Holy Christian Church, why would we want to bite and devour each other? We're not the enemy. The enemy is on the outside of us in the world. We should be encouraging of each other. We should be the very ones that are forgiving each other and lifting each other up and helping each other on the path of salvation. Peter says, minister to one another according to the gifts which God has given you. He says, if anyone speaks, meaning preaching or instructing or encouraging someone, let him speak as the oracles of God. Nothing else besides the pure doctrine of the church will edify the members of the church while they wait patiently for their Lord. As they gather around the means of grace, as they sing hymns to one another, songs about their homeland in heaven, as they encourage each other and nourish one another with the means of grace, as we talk about the great food that we're going to eat when we finally get to our real homeland in heaven, these are all ways that we build each other up. A great Norwegian bishop by the name of Locke wrote it this way about this text: Christ has put you, members of the church, Christ has put you together to serve one another, and I love this line, and to further each other's salvation. To further each other's salvation. That's what we're really doing here together in these barracks. As St. Paul said, encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. A number of months ago, I was listening to a documentary on a U.S. prisoner of war And he remembers the day that General Eisenhower in his Jeep came driving through the front gates of the barracks, or of the compound that he was staying in, and up near their barracks. And he remembers the great joy that he had had. And he said for months they had just been living, waiting for that moment. And he said, "I never have felt so happy in all of my life." Just think of the joy that you and I will finally experience on the day that Christ does return. That wonderful moment when we will be liberated from this prison compound of this world. Let us now live for that moment. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that through your Holy Spirit you have appointed us to bear witness of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We beseech you, inasmuch as the world cannot endure such testimony and persecutes us in every way, grant us courage and comfort that we may not be offended because of the cross, but continue steadfastly in your testimony and be always found among those who know you and your Son until we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.